the center of it all.
Hallelujah.
Everything we do.
What do people do that don't have Jesus in the center? Man, you may be seated. I guess that's come more of a realization this week than ever before in my life. But as a family, we want to thank all of you for, I mean, the text, the Facebook stuff, the messages. It's all been supportive. We have not one negative thing has come. And I just thank God. Hallelujah. God is so good. Just keep praying with us. And if you want to know how to pray, just pray that we have favor and mercy. That's what you need to have, pray for, okay? Hey, you know, we spent a lot of money to build that youth building. If I understand it correctly, last Wednesday night, I think it was, Paula, the guitar player, I think Denise had challenged the kids to start bringing unsaved kids. And if I got this right, this boy said he didn't even know whether he believed in God or not. He said he was an atheist. He came, they told him about the place and about what all they had and all that. And he came last Wednesday night. He got saved. He came back tonight.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If it was just for that one boy.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. That's exciting. But that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning as we continue to reach out more. I'm going to talk about standing in your position. You ever heard the saying, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything? Yeah. William Lipscomb Jr. said, if your position is everywhere, your momentum is zero. Now, what does that mean? That means, in other words, if you're not standing in position, and if you're here, there, and yonder, and all over, you'll never accomplish anything. Nothing will ever get accomplished unless you know how to stand in your place. You know, I've had the privilege of living a few years in this world, and I've seen continual progress even through people as they encountered tremendous situations and oppositions. And I've also seen many people knocked out of their position by circumstances and situations and never really fully recover. Now I'm not talking about they're not saved, but they never recovered themselves to the place that they could have been if they had stayed where they're supposed to. I'm thinking as a teenager, you know. In fact, this pastor talked to Dad, and because Dad was just in traveling ministry then, and when I was a teenager, and he's talking to him. And, you know, about, well, I just think I need to leave this church and go to another one. And Daddy told him, said, no, you need to stay here. Just because it's a rough season right now, just because you're not growing like you was last year and the year before, you need to just stay here. Well, he jumped and he wouldn't do it. And he jumped. And, you know, he never did get back into pastoring or really actually into the full-time ministry again after that, because he didn't stay where God had told him to go. You see, you got to maintain your position even when the enemy attacks. Hello? I think I'm finding out more about that. I knew a lot about it, but I'm finding out a whole lot more now. You know, one of the secrets of success is to learn how to stand in your place when other people want your position or circumstances come against you. Now, I've been in a position where somebody wanted my position, and they used hook and crook to get it. But you know what? It never works out. I just went on down the road. You know, Moses was a great leader, but he had to learn to stand still in position. Look at Exodus 14. Look at Exodus 14. This whole message tonight is about standing where you're at, not letting anything knock you out of the way. And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." Now, that's when they're at the Red Sea. And, God had already moved to get them out of Egypt, but now they're facing obstacles. I mean, there's mountains all around them. The enemy's coming behind them. The Red Sea is in front of them. Now, wonder what the outcome would have been if they started running and trying to climb the mountains to get away, tried to swim across the sea. Wonder what the outcome would have been. He told them to stand still, because when they stood still, they were in position to move when God said, "Okay, go across." Sometimes we can get out of position and it costs us. We not realize standing in our position, God's ordained for us, and it'll help us to experience success. Now, it may not always be fun to stay there, God ordained a place for Moses and the Israelites. And the position if they stayed in position, then they were ready when he was ready. See, God instructed us to stand on his promises. He's instructed us to stand in his perfect will. We gotta make sure that we're standing on the promises and that we're standing in his perfect will. In the Bible, there's some places that God called people to be, and that's where they were blessed. If they hadn't have stayed where they were supposed to, they wouldn't have been blessed. He called Abraham to certain land, and it was in that land that Abraham got blessed. He called Moses to lead people out of Israel out of Egypt, and that's where Moses was blessed. That Jesus told the disciples in Acts 1, 4 and 5, stay in the upper room till you get the Holy Spirit. Now, there was a whole lot more people heard this, and a whole lot more people saw Jesus ascend than went back and stayed in the upper room. There's only 120 of them in the upper room. There's a whole lot more of them that out there. But you see, those that were in the upper room on the day of Pentecost were the first ones to get the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. Because they were in the place that God told them to be. See, God has a place, and when you get in that position, that's when you're going to experience your best blessings. Stand in your position for success. 1 Corinthians 15:58. I'll let you turn there. Okay. Everybody ready? See, I got it cut and paste to here. Y'all have to turn and look for it. All right. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain." Now, the NIV says it like this: "Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." And then the NLT says, "So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong, immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless." Now, God has called each one of us to live a successful, victorious life in him. Amen. Getting in the right position and maintaining that position is vital for your success. whatever position that in life that God has for each one of you, it's important to stay there. You know, I started out as an evangelist, and then I went as an associate pastor for 6 years. And then I came with Dad, and, you know, I didn't have anything to do except just set up the crusades and handle all the business part of it. And, you know, and I've been preaching them for every Sunday and sometimes on a Wednesday and handling all kinds of church stuff. And I would have rather stayed where I was. But you see, God wanted me to go to another place. And then I stayed in that place, and I'm still in that place. If I hadn't stayed where he told me to come, and I stayed whenever it wasn't no fun, I stayed whenever people were against me, I stayed whenever... Years ago, when I had people working underneath me that tried to take Rhema away from me, and, you know, I had to be mean, and I had to stay and do what needed to be done. One day, Craig told me, he said, Dad, everybody likes me. I said, yeah, you're a Solomon, but I'm a David. I got blood on my sword. But there wouldn't be no Rhema today. If you don't stand in your, you know, I had to stand in my place. You know, David was anointed to be king. His own son tried to take away from him. He had to stand in his place and stay. I'm still the king. Hello, come on now. You know, whatever position in life God has for each of you, it's important. You may not be enjoying it. It may not be as much fun. You know, everybody wants to be the big dog and lead all the little dogs around, but that may not what God may want you to be a little dog, not the big dog. Come on now, don't look at me like that. It's the truth. God has positions for everybody, and he needs everybody to work in their position. You know, on a sports team. Say a football team. Okay, I'm playing defensive end. Okay, I'm out here. I'm defensive end. Well, I am to stay in position because I am to look for any kind of reverses or anything coming back the other direction. Any of you guys played ball? Any of you played that defensive end position? If you see the play going that way and you take off running there, you're out of position if something comes back that direction. You wait till I don't know how they did it, do it now, but when I was playing, I come across that line and I sit down and I'm waiting. I'm looking. And once I see them turn the corner and go that way, then I can take an angle path to go get in line with the thing. You know? As you know, one of the things I played the post in high school at 6'2", and I was tall in 1957 at 6'2". And now I wouldn't even make a good guard. But you know, when Coach John Fenderson, he had us to sit down in there, get ourselves set in there, and nobody moves you. That's your position. This is your area. And I don't care who comes in here, they're not getting a basket. You're going to knock the fire out of them. They don't move you, you move them. Come on. That's the way we've got to do with the things of God. We've got to sit down and say, okay, the devil ain't going to move me. Circumstance is not going to move me. Nothing's going to move me because I'm going to stand here because this is where God wants me to be, and I'm going to accomplish where God has put me. Hello? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever had the opportunity to get out of position. Sometimes circumstances will look good and you'll want to move because it looks good. It looks like God, but it's really not. I've seen a lot of people move and they should have stayed where they were at. I've had people that have left Rhema, and I knew they shouldn't leave, but they come in there and told me God told them to go. Well, I'm not going to, I don't think he did, but I'm not going to dispute it if they say God told them. And they got out there and some of them had never done anything. You know, years and years and years ago, a person, they teach in one of the school of Bible classes and they got a nice class and they go out there, they're going to start a church. And 3 years later, they still only had 25, and they had 125 or 175 in their class here. They'd have done more staying here teaching, and I knew they would, but I can't tell them. You got to learn how to know God, what God really wants you to do, and not do what you want to do. Some of you are looking at me sort of funny. I'm just telling you the way it is. This is just the way it is. There's one thing about me, and everybody that knows me knows this. I don't pull many punches. I just go straight to the point. I mean, I tell it like it is. My wife says I'm too blunt sometimes, but, you know, I work. One time, a bunch of us guys was working doing when I was in college anyway, and we was doing something. I forgot what we were doing on his job, picking up stuff and doing junk. And he come out there and he started talking to us. And after he left, one of the guys looked at me and said, does he want us to do this or not do this? I said, I don't know. He wasn't specific. You know, have you ever had that happen to you? You know, that's not me. You know, that's, I'm going to say it like it is. Some people have a visible position that appears more important. On a football team, you got wide receivers, running backs, and quarterbacks. And they're the ones that seem to get all the glory and everything else. But it's the people in the non-visible positions that doesn't appear important that makes the visible positions go. That quarterback not going to complete a pass if he don't have a line up there blocking for him. That running back's not going to make a yard if he don't have somebody blocking for him. That wide receiver is not going to catch any passes unless he has some other teammates that are running some patterns and carrying defensive men with them where he's left open. But those positions don't seem important. You know, those old guys down there in the line, how many of you played the line in football? Tackle, guard, down in center, down in the middle, down in the trenches. You know, when Emmitt Smith won the, you know, he gained more yardage than Walter Payton and took over number one. He went out and bought all of his linemen Rolex watches and give every one of them one. He did. It was his big news. Any of you ever hear that news? Yeah, it's big news. Because he said, I wouldn't have this honor and this reward if it weren't for those guys. See, he recognized the guys that's in the physical position, they recognize it's these guys and like pastors and all of us here that you see, we recognize that you that are working and standing in your place that may be invisible is what makes this go. It's not us. We're a part of it. It's a team effort. You see, but every position is important on God's team. Every position. I don't care if it's out there in the parking lot. And the you parking lot guys will know, I roll my window down and I go by and say thank you. Any of you parking lot guys here ever been there when I did that? I'll tell the ushers thank you. I tell the people in there with the children, when I see them, I tell them, thank you. Why?
Because I couldn't do what I do if it wasn't for the invisible people behind the scenes. Hello? See, your position is important. You need to learn to stand in it and take the initiative and be engaged in that position. And, you know, I tell people all the time, I say, you need to pray. Sometimes when I'm doing leadership and talking to others, I guess I should tell you guys more about it. I don't. I tell them, I say, you need to pray for the anointing to do your job, whatever it is, working with the children, parking lot, ushering, cameras, sound, lights. What? You need to pray for the anointing to do that job, just like the minister prays for the anointing to get up here and speak. Because it's that important. Sometimes we look over those positions and we think they're not important, but they're as important. And in fact, they're in the Bible where he talks about all of these ministry gifts, and he puts the ministry of helps right in the middle of it. That's just as important. So what I'm talking to you about, stand your ground where you're at and don't allow anything. You know, sometimes different things come along and they want to knock us out of the way, and we want to, but 1 Corinthians 16:13 said, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. I'm getting a little bit of the evangelist on me now, and I'm getting to going too fast. But anyway, NLT says, be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong. It's not always easy to stand when the enemy is coming at you. You know, it's real interesting to listen to these guys talk. They're sitting in their easy chair watching the football game and say, I don't understand that quarterback. Why do they do that? Yeah. Hey, you weren't there with two 360-pound guys bearing down on top of you, fixing to knock the fire out of you. You're sitting in an easy chair. He's looking at 600 and some odd pounds coming at him. 6'5", 6'7", 300 pounds coming at him. Put yourself in there, and then after you've been there and done it, then you can talk. Up until then, keep your mouth shut. Come on now. I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but take our stand. You know, I'm getting ahead of myself, so I'll jump over here. I just skip that page and jump back over here, jump over where I'm at. You see, some people are busy judging people all the time. First of all, let me say this. Success, when you become successful, you become a visible target. For those that are not successful, they want to shoot you down. You know, not everyone will get behind you and wish you well. Somebody said, when somebody slaps you on the back to congratulate you, make sure they don't have a knife in their hand. Now, here at Rhema, before we had our college team and everything, we had intramural teams in the leagues, softball leagues and the basketball leagues around here, and in the flag football. I played in all of them. I think Tad played in some of those. Bill, did you ever basketball? Bill, hey, we won. And everybody hated us. Everybody didn't like us. I know we won the church league state champion, flag football state championship so many times they made us move into the open league. And then we won that. And then nobody liked us. But, you know, when you're on top, nobody likes you. When you're successful with God, the devil don't like it, and he's going to come at you with everything he's got. Hello.
You know, some people are so busy judging someone instead of staying in the place where God called them and doing what God told them to do. Now, I want to read this. This is from a U.S. president. His name was Theodore Roosevelt. You ever hear about him? He carried a big stick. Is that right? And how many have read about Theodore Roosevelt in history? Yeah. Here's something he said. It's not the critic who counts. It's not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of good deeds could have done better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly who errs and comes short again and again. But there is not effort without error and shortcomings. But who does actually strive to do the deed, who knows the great enthusiasm, the great devotion, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, who at the worst, if he fails, at least he fails while daring greatly. I know the baseball coach used to tell us, if you're going to strike out swinging. Don't strike out watching a pitch go by. Any baseball players here know? Have y'all ever heard that before? That's what he's talking about here. You might strike out, but at least you went down swinging. You didn't stand there, oh, that's a strike. Hello? You know? Romans 14:4 says, who are you to judge another man's servant? To his own master he stands or fails. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. And the NLT says, and who are you to condemn someone else's servant? They're responsible to the Lord. So let him judge whether they're right or wrong. And with the Lord's help, they will do what is right and will receive his approval. You know, it's not, I'm sorry to say, as pastor, you get letters all the time. Thank God I haven't gotten any recently. I don't think, unless my assistant just dumps them. But, because Lynette sometimes says, oh, he don't need to see that. But my wife protects me. But it's always telling me what I done wrong, how I didn't preach a message like it should have been preached, or how I made the wrong decision about that. And I got one time, most years ago, about, and I guess it was from an English teacher that told me how bad my English was, you know. And you know, I'm competitive, and sometimes I want to retaliate, and I restrain myself. But back whenever they were really coming hard at Dad, I didn't care what they said about him, but they were coming hard at my dad on his faith and all of that kind of stuff back in, I don't know, the late 70s and early 80s. And I went into Dad one day, went into his office, and I said, Dan, I said, I'm tired of this mess. I said, I want to rent a stadium. And I want to divide it in half. And I want all these guys that are talking about all of that, how wrong we are, they get that half the stadium, and I want everybody that's been healed and filled with the Holy Spirit, their lives have been changed, to get over there. And we get all, I want all the people that your books and everything that this ministry has done get on this side. I said, we'll fill up our half of the stadium, and I doubt they get even a quarter of theirs. He said, oh, son, don't worry about it. He said, that wouldn't prove anything. So he said, just settle down. So I did. But and it was, and Lynette, I'll tell you, I said, when some things was happening, I said, and they were coming down hard on me and Dad and this ministry, I said, oh, well, I wish Uncle Dub is still alive. because... But you see, people are always wanting to be critical. How do they know whether I'm doing right or not? They don't know what God's told me. They think they do. And my dad used to say this all the time. He said, you know what think did, don't you? Nothing. You know, this was on Facebook. Someone posted a picture of a nose, and the caption under it said, here's your nose, I found it in my business. You're out of position when you are trying to mind somebody else's position. What you think they should be doing, how they should be doing something, what they should be doing. Hey, you're out of position. Get in your old position and stay there. Amen. When I'm out here as the defensive end, I'm not down there telling the guard what to do. That's his business. And he's not out here trying to tell me how to be a defensive end. That's my business. Hello. You know. Roger there, well, you know, he retired as assistant fire chief here in the Tulsa, for the city of Tulsa. And the fireman down there is not up there trying to tell the chief what to do. The chief's telling him what to do. Hello? Right. Now, we're not against suggestions that might be helpful and so forth. But you know, I mean, hey, stay in your, keep your nose out of that position if that's not your position. Hello. In fact, one team I was playing on, this boy started griping. Jim, he started griping about what so-and-so wasn't doing. And the coach looked at him and said, Jim, if I was you, I think I would worry about my position and leave John alone. That's not your position. So you don't need to be mentioning it. You need to get over here and do what you're supposed to do. In fact, this really got it. He said, if you'd have done what you supposed to have done last night, we'd have scored when we should have. He shut up and he didn't say nothing else. You see, today we've got to determine to stand in our position, whatever it is, and handle any situation that comes our way and depend on God to help us to stand in our position. Let me close with this because I'm already over time. Ephesians 6, anybody getting anything out of this? Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of the age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand. There's a place where you can stand strong in the Lord, resting in his power, doing what you're supposed to do and letting everybody else do what they're supposed to do. And when everybody on the team, God's team, everybody stands in their position and does what they're supposed to do, then it works good. You've got to resist the idea to cut and run when the circumstances come that are horrible. You can't find success in running away. You may be tempted to run from the pressure and the temptation, but you got to learn to lean on God. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, and in the NIV, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted above what is you can bear. But when you're tempted, he will provide a way out that you can stand up under it. And I'm not talking about being tempted to sin. I'm talking about when all of the junk comes against you. When you know who you are in God and where you are in God, and you can stand in the power of his might. You know, 2 Corinthians 1:21. Now to God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ, he anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put the Spirit in our heart, as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. That's Paul saying. Now, it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. It's God. When you're in battle in a military, if you don't have a supply line and ammo resources, you're not going to succeed. You know, as long as a military unit has their supplies, their ammo, and the necessary things, they can push the enemy back. There was an old movie come out years and years and years ago. I believe it's called Red Ball Express. And what it was, Patton in World War II, he was over those tanks, and he outrun his supply line. Anybody seen that? And they formed this, what they call the Red Ball Express. And all it was tanker trucks that kept going, because he was pushing the enemy back, and they kept going up and fueling his tanks. Without that, and then they did outrun them and then they did get whipped. Because they couldn't move no more. They're setting ducks. They can't move. They can't do anything. See, it's the same with us. When we're standing in the promises of God and His perfect will, the supply line is there. All of the resources, the ammo, the resources is there that we need right here in the Word of God. You need to start quoting them. That's your ammo. That's what you defeat the devil with. I've not been given a spirit of fear, but a power and love and sound mind. No weapon formed against me will prosper. I trust in God. I don't lean to my own understanding. Hello. Amen. Those have been real scriptures that I've been quoting. That's what you got to do when you're facing all of these situations that's coming against you. You got to get the word and start speaking the word and speak the word. And speak the word. That's what'll give you strength on the inside to stand your ground. You know, God wants us to stay where we're at. He wants us to accomplish where we're at because that's where He's got us. Now, if He leads you somewhere else, great. But until He leads you somewhere else, stand where you are, do what you can for the kingdom, and you'll see that you'll be blessed, and you'll find out that you'll come out on top, and everything will be bliss. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Everybody stand up. Everybody talk to God and say, Lord, help me to stand in my place and give Him, tell Him, hey, I'm going to stand in my place, Lord. I'm standing in my place. Thank you, Father. Right now, in the name of Jesus, is anybody praying? I can't hear nothing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? Glory to God. I trust this was good for you. It was good for me. It blessed me. It helped me. I don't. Maybe I preached to myself tonight, but I don't know. But I helped me. I don't know about you. Did it help you? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Listen, if you happen to be here and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, then you don't even know what we're talking about, but you can know before you leave here. The ladies here and the men here, you can come down here. They'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came. Some of you might know what it is, but you need to rededicate your life to God. Then that's what you need to do. Come down here. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit, come down here. You want somebody to pray with you about anything. As we're dismissed, come down here. Praise God. Praise God. Connection team, go find the first time guests and let's take them to the room. Thank you, first time guests. If you're looking for a church home, what do we say, church? Welcome home. Just come on and join us. We have a great time serving God unlimited, both in the natural and in the spiritual area. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. Well, Sunday morning right here at School of the Bible, 9:00, 10:00, regular morning worship. Be here. Come expecting, come believing, continue to pray for us and believe God with us. We're standing. You stand with us. Praise God. Turn around, shake hands with somebody and say, I'm standing in my place. I don't know about you. If you need prayer for anything, come to the front right now. God bless.